Moncrief on News Talk.
While the world is distracted by the Iran war and the World Cup, actions by Benjamin Netanyahu's government in Gaza and the West Bank are ongoing. That catastrophe hasn't gone away, and it's worth remembering that not all Israelis approve of what's going on, nor do all Jews. And a lot of this centres around opposition to Zionism. But this week, the Jewish Representative Council of Ireland will be hosting a training course run by the Movement Against Anti-Zionism, or MAZ. MAZ maintains that anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism are effectively the same thing. A group of Irish Jews have now written to the Representative Council objecting to this event, among them Ria Chernyak-Labov, who is an artist and lecturer. Ria, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, thank you for having me.
Could you define what is Zionism?
I think it has become a really contentious term, and what it once meant is not what people mean by it now. Obviously, a lot of terms evolve over time. So when you, or the way I would describe Zionism with a capital Z, would be a political ideology striving for Jewish statehood. There were other countries considered, not just Palestine. And there's absolutely no doubt that Jews were in need of safety, and Europe was not providing them with safety. So it's completely understandable that they would want somewhere where they felt protected. But what Zionism has turned into, I mean, it's contentious from the very beginning, because, of course, the mythic a land without a people for a people without a land, or if I'm getting that in the right order, of course, there were people on the land. So as soon as you want to grant someone statehood at the expense of people who are already living there, you're into territory that's going to be really, really deeply problematic. And obviously, over the last century, we've even before the Balfour Agreement, but we're talking about a conflict that is deeply complicated. And when people say that they're Zionists, sometimes at their most basic, they mean that they believe in the right of the Jewish people to have a state. But of course, now we've seen, like a lot of other countries, a huge rise in the far right. So we have government ministers in Israel identifying as religious Zionists and ultra Zionists, who are the ones who are believing in what they call the Greater Israel, where they are spreading out the borders. They obviously have gone into rather a large portion of Lebanon, they are absolutely crushing the West Bank. The settlers, the settler movement, and the growth of new settlements is really terrifying. And it does feel as if this modern zealotry and type of Zionism is moving far beyond concerns for Jewish safety, and it's into expansionist kind of colonial territory, where Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich, who are in the Knesset at the moment, they refer even to the West Bank as Judea and Samaria. They don't refer to it by its legal name anymore. They're referring to the land in biblical terms. And obviously, as somebody who advocates for human rights and adherence to international law, Zionism needs to be unpacked, and it needs to be, we need to be able to be critical of it without it being considered somehow anti-Semitic, because that's not what's happening.
Now, and you define yourself as non-Zionist rather than anti-Zionist.
And I think there's a lot of complications and nuances around those kind of words. Like, if you said you were non-racist, people would be like, well, that's great, but you should be anti-racist.
Yes.
It's not enough to be passively sitting there saying, well, I'm not into that myself. We should all be active and anti-racist. And when it comes to Zionism, I am anti the ideology of Zionism.
Anti what it is, has become, because originally, I suppose, the idea of Jewish people wanting to have safety and their own state. That's
safety and their own state is one thing, but I don't personally politically agree with ethno-nationalism. I don't think there should be any country in the whole world where one religion has greater human rights than people who live among them. And in Israel, according to the ICJ and a huge amount of UN reports and different NGOs, it has been as heartbreaking as it is for a lot of Jewish or Israeli sympathetic people to acknowledge that it's become an apartheid state or that it was always an apartheid state. Like when you study the conviction rates of Israelis versus Palestinians or their rights to purchase land, their travel documents, it's not an equal society. And of course, I want Jews to be safe. I want them to be safe everywhere and I want them to be safe in Israel. But you can't expect a state to give preferential rights to one group based on their faith or ethnicity. So we're looking at systemic change in Israel that would grant Palestinians their equal rights. I don't think that's in any way radical.
In Ireland, now there was, as I understand it, there was an anti-Zionism conference a few weeks ago. Did that affect the temperature among the Jewish community in Ireland?
I'm sure it did. I'm sure that it was quite frightening. There were certainly, like absolutely every movement, there's a spectrum. There are going to be people who are more extreme than others. I received a huge amount of backlash and harassment because I endorsed the Congress. But I'm in academia. I am hardwired to advocate for dialogue. And we had people like the incredible Francesca Albanese, the US. From the UN, we had Ilan Pape speaking, we had Ramzi Baroud speaking. There were so many incredible academics, activists, pacifists, historians speaking. And there has to be a space for dialogue. And I think that just the very word anti-Zionist has become something so kind of polarizing that the Jewish community saw that event with out and out hostility without really researching who the speakers were and what kind of topics would be discussed. I think there's an awful lot of misconception about what it means to challenge Zionism. And the reason we started using Zionism as a term was because when you say anti-Israel, I'm not anti every Israeli. Yeah. My father's Israeli. I know a lot of left-leaning Israelis and I follow a huge amount of grassroots organizations in Israel who are doing the peace work. Like I follow like people like Combatants for Peace or Standing Together and the Parents Circle, like people who grieve together, Palestinians and Israelis. There's an incredible duo called Ma'oz Inon and Aziz Abu Sara, and they are Palestinian and Israeli who are touring the world talking about peace and publishing kind of like a forward-looking strategy for how you build the day after. And I also recently heard even a huge amount of Israelis who are vehemently opposed to what's going on, who have left Israel. A whole bunch of people are planning to fly back to Israel in October to vote in their elections now that they finally are talking about elections because they want to make it different. And they absolutely abhor Netanyahu and everything that this government and this entire genocide has represented for their country. So I absolutely have no patience for people vilifying every Israeli. I have no patience for people considering all Jews to be somehow collectively responsible for the actions of Israel. Because like absolutely every faith, there is diversity and we're not a monolith.
Yeah. Have you found that actually since this all started that, you know, if someone learns you're Jewish, that you have to somehow defend Netanyahu?
Oh, yes. It has happened to me so many times, and I'm a visual artist, and quite a bit of my research over the last couple of years has centered on Jewish identity. I was doing research over in the Jewish ghettos in Vilnius, and then I was over in Bologna recently looking at a Jewish ghetto that was built in the 1500s. And when people realize you're Jewish, they very often there's radio silence where they're just so afraid of like, oh Lord, how will I not offend this woman if they think that I'm pro-Israel? But equally, they don't seem to understand that that's why I have reached the point of politics that I'm at, because I recognize patterns where you're ghettoizing people or you're not allowing them to own land or you are making them have different identification documents. Like, genocide doesn't happen overnight. It happened to the Jews very systemically, slowly and steadily, making people second-class citizens and dehumanizing them. So when you study that, you recognize it happening against any demographic. Mm. And so this isn't about it being Israel or Palestine. I will adhere those principles to any conflict I see or any people who are being disenfranchised.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
Yeah. Now, Maz now is... Would they be? Would you categorize them at least as an extremist organization?
I think at their very core, yes. I think this is them. To me, this flyer is extreme. But to them, it seems as if they've put their most palatable front-facing foot forward. Inviting people to basically tackle the scourge that is anti-Semitism and labeling anti-Zionism as contemporary anti-Semitism.
That's what the label says. Anti-Zionism as the new anti-Semitism. Understand it, confront it, stop it.
Yeah.
So they're upfront about their beliefs in that.
What they're doing, this is a really, really... pivotal part of the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. So the IHRA is the International Holocaust Remembrance. They basically, and even the drafter of the definition has now come forward years later and said that it's been weaponized and it has not been used in the way that he intended it when he drafted it. But this definition of anti-Semitism, the definition is very, very straightforward. It's just that anti-Semitism is a form of racism where you are hating people based solely on the fact that they're Jewish. But there are these 11 contemporary examples, their clauses. And I think 7 of the 11 apply to criticism of Israel. Mm. So they are saying that criticizing Israel is an act of anti-Semitism. And Micheál Martin, much to my horror, endorsed this definition.
They dragged their feet for a long time, though. I think they're one of the last to do it.
They were. Yeah. And there's immense international pressure, as if you don't endorse this, that you don't care about Jewish people's safety and anti-Semitism. Whereas there are so many Jewish people who are absolutely disgusted at this definition. And to me, at least, we don't need a specific and politically connected definition. When somebody is racist, you know they're being racist. It's the same with Islamophobia. Like, you find that when something international happens in a country that's predominantly Muslim, all Muslim people in other countries face backlash and additional layers of racism and within any number of countries that are not connected. So I think anti-Semitism is similar, where I'm not going to understate the rise in anti-Semitism, because it's very real. Mm. And I face just as much of that, though I'm pro-Palestine, as anybody who's not. But I feel as if it's not enough to make me stay silent.
Yeah.
If you see atrocities, it's your obligation to say that that's not right.
Mm. Maz, when they have this training session on Thursday, do you have any idea of what it is they're training people to do?
I guess it's maybe the overarching strategy is to muzzle anybody who wants to speak out as an anti-Zionist. So if an organization, I imagine, were to host speakers who are very critical of Israel, they are building a framework where it would be, it says in the flyer, libel. Like, that's a legal framework. You're threatening people that it will be illegal to speak out against an ideology that is incredibly problematic and that millions of people object to. And I know that Zionism, it's not, I mean, there's more Christian Zionists in the US than there are Jewish mm-hmm. ones. And if you've ever heard of Pastor Hagee speaking for CUFI, the Christians Union for Zion, or for Zionism, they really are dogmatic Zionists. So this is targeting, given the nature of this organization, Jewish anti-Zionists. But that's nothing to say of all of the other people from other faiths and religions who are critical of the ideology of Zionism, where it shouldn't be okay for any of us that they're perpetrating an illegal occupation and a genocide, which is the gravest of human rights crimes. And that we, when we criticize it, run the risk of being of libel and anti-Semitism.
Were you surprised that the JRCI decided to host this event?
I'm not entirely sure I was surprised. I was very disappointed. Mm. The JRCI have gone to lengths to pressure for the endorsement of the IHRA definition. And they have unequivocally expressed their solidarity with Israel. But I think for me, growing up in Ireland as a Jewish person, there are only a few thousand of us. So I feel like hosting an event that's this divisive and basically encouraging people to combat their peers. It says in it, learn how to shut it down and target those who are spreading anti-Zionism. And within such a small community, to bring in an international organization that are intent on vilifying Jewish people who speak out against the actions of Israel, I guess I was really disappointed and upset. Mm.
Does that make you, under this definition, anti-Semitic then? Or how does
apparently
that work?
I've been anti-Semitic for years. Mm. Because of my criticism of Israel, which is absurd, because obviously I've dedicated so much time to highlighting anti-Semitism and to fighting racism in all its forms, that under these definitions, that's exactly what it says.
Yeah. Now, you have sent this letter expressing a lot of what you've been saying to us here today, and 30 people signed it. Were there other people who maybe didn't want to sign it?
Yes.
Or people on either side of this who were scared to stick their head over the parapet?
Absolutely. And when I had a public version. I went back to the 30-something signatories and, at least 10 of them weren't in a position to sign it publicly for either their jobs or because they are connected to very prominent Jewish families. And I said to them, and this is a huge act of faith for somebody in me, that if I ask you to sign something or if I write something with you, that obviously we're hoping that the JRCI respect GDPR. It's not for, if we are members of the community, we're entitled to express our objections to this without further leading it into this territory where people will be harassed and there will be repercussions. But yeah, there were several people who said, I completely agree. I just cannot face any more backlash from saying anything. People in their 70s said that. People in the public sphere, people who were school teachers who didn't want their employers to be getting messages that you have an anti-Zionist working for you. It's really... I mean, that ship has sailed for me, but it has not been easy.
Yeah, I imagine not. Miriam wants to know, can you ask your guest if she has an opinion on the Jerusalem Declaration definition of anti-Semitism as an alternative to the IHRA definition?
There is a lot of preference among certain circles for the Jerusalem Declaration definition. I personally don't feel the need to endorse either. Mm. I feel that it needs to be integrated into anti-racist strategies and definitions more broadly. I don't want to reinforce Jewish exceptionalism as if bigotry against us is any different than anybody else. Every single demographic that faces racism, or let's say ableism or misogyny, we all understand that it's a kind of, we need to tackle it all. And I think making a really robust anti-racist campaign and letting people know that it's not acceptable to target people based on their gender, faith, religion, ethnicity, any of it. But I don't feel the need to get down to the niggly specifics of what defines anti-Semitism. I think we know hate speech when we see it, and we need to trust that anti-racism can protect us all together. And yeah, none of us are safe till all of us are safe.
Yeah. Have you received a reply?
Not as yet.
No.
I wait.
Yeah. We actually did also put in a request to the JRCI asking for a statement. We haven't received one either. And if we do get it, we'll read it out on air. Ria, thank you so much for coming in to speak with us today. That
thank
was Ria Cherniak-Labov there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.